You're listening to Games of Future Past on the Fat Gatsby Network.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Games of Future Past. I don't even remember the last time we recorded an episode. It feels like forever ago somehow.
I know. It's been a while.
I think because we recorded in August. And
yeah.
Talked about rare stuff with Weiss.
Right.
Yeah, and then we had Magfest, and that took over September. But yeah, we're back. Me and Dave.
Oh, we're
Tim,
back.
That's Dave.
Hey.
And we're here to talk about some old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This past week, the NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System, not to be confused with the Famicom.
No, sir.
The Nintendo Entertainment System celebrated its 30th anniversary. That is the North American 8-bit console from Nintendo, of course. That is a console that is near and dear to our hearts, as kind of being like the first console I really owned.
Yeah, yeah.
Not really counting
the
Atari.
One.
Yeah. Yes, formative, indeed.
Yeah.
It shaped everything to come thereafter.
And of course, unlike future consoles, where when we talk about the day it was released, you know, the future consoles were the ones that we got them pretty near their release. But in 1985, the NES was really only released in certain limited markets and didn't really gain nationwide penetration until a couple years later. So, you know, that inaugural lineup of launch games that it launched with felt downright primitive to us by the time we got our hands on it. It almost doesn't quite feel like it should be 30 years old, because we certainly were not four when we started playing with it.
No, I believe I was seven or so. It was like 87, 88 that I got my hands on it. Started playing at home. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Oh man, he just pushed himself backwards a little bit.
Oh, he's learning.
He's figuring it out. We decided in honor of that, we are going to do kind of a lightning round blank of the NES awards show here today.
Yes!
Yay!
I really should have sent you the categories in the order that I ordered them.
I've gotten them in the order that, like, when we last discussed
this. Nah, there isn't a lot.
Yeah, yeah, so
we can only get so lost. It's not a blank of the year, and Weiss isn't here to get confused.
Yeah,
so
it's not a ton of cat. We pared it down to stuff that, you know, would apply to in this historical context.
Yeah, and have some fun with it and whatever. Anyways, first off the bat is the ones that got away.
Yeah.
So games we didn't play, I don't know, at the time, ever.
Well, that's the thing, because we've had 30 years now.
Yeah.
So the game that I chose is one that, you know, A, it was popular at the time. B, it has only gotten more beloved as time has gone on. And yet, I still really have never spent more than maybe 5 minutes with it.
What's that?
And for me, that is Capcom's DuckTales.
Oh. Huh.
I never owned it at the time. I never, and probably never actually played it until
I finished it on a rental.
Wow. Okay.
It's an easy game.
No, so even to this day, I don't think I have maybe gotten halfway through like the Amazon level. I've booted up maybe twice in my life. That's it. And yet, you know, it's got this stellar reputation. People love it, and people have fond memories of it. But something that I have always wanted and meant to sit
God,
down.
This should
and
be
play
like through. A deep shame for you.
I know. Well, it's not. Not ashamed, really, but it.
You should be.
This is the one that got away.
It
for
did
me.
Get away. Wow, that's
this
crazy.
Probably the big one that got away. There's a lot of games that I never finished, but this is the one that I really have barely touched.
Well, NES games were fucking hard and sometimes not always very clear with their direction of what you needed to do.
What about you? What was your criteria?
My criteria was, so I have played, to some extent, pretty much any NES game that I wanted to play through owning the cartridge or borrowing or renting or other nefarious means after the fact. So my picks are games that, like, quite literally got away from me. One of them is Panic Restaurant,
which
I saw at the Philadelphia VG Expo the first year for $15,
and
I didn't buy
price.
It.
for that late release NES
game. I have never. That game is $100 at least these days. And I just. Why didn't I get it then? I had never, ever seen the cartridge in person. I haven't before or since. And for some reason, I just didn't. I didn't have a lot of money at the time. I know that. So I was being very careful with what I was buying. But it's still.
Not
it's
even
like
a half bad game, right? I mean, that's like a Jalico or a, like a Natsume platformer.
Yeah. It's just
one of those guys.
Yeah. It's, you know, got some nice sprite work and it's fun and kind of tough. But yeah, it was just one of those things I remember seeing in Nintendo Power. And then it's like, I never got to see it. And the things I bought at that convention, like.
Instead.
Well, it's like I remember that I bought a copy of King of Dragons for Super Nintendo, which is a fine game, but is easily available on the Capcom Classics Collection and some like Sega CD game, Spider-Man game, that because I don't know, that's I was at the time. But I don't have Panic Restaurant.
So easily.
Oh,
wow.
And once upon a time, back in the Guzex days, I was matched up for a copy of Little Samson.
Ooh.
But it never was confirmed or came through. So.
Didn't you own Little Samson at one point?
No, I never owned that game. That is another late release that is hyper rare and super, it's like, will run you hundreds of dollars for a cartridge only on eBay. Which, it's again, it's a fun little platformer. I've seen some people overstate it as the best game on NES, but I think that's just kind of nonsense. It's not like Panzer Dragoon Saga, which is really expensive and definitely the best game on Saturn. Yeah, those two got away from me.
Quite literally, yes.
Literally.
Good picks.
Fucking A.
What's next?
Next is Secret Best Game. Secret Best Game.
All right. Oh, yeah. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, please. Right.
Okay, so it's not really a secret.
I don't think it feel like anything is a secret anymore on the NES. Like the secrets have been revealed.
But really, just I guess saying that any game other than Mario 3 is the best game on NES is brokering controversy.
This is to say secret best game. We are playing off an old Shane Bettenhausen turn of phrase on the old like One Up podcasts. Anyways, continue.
Yeah, wherein he would describe one of his old favorite games and like elucidate why it was the best game. And it's the secret best. You didn't know that it's the best game, but if I explain it to you, it's actually the best game.
Little bit tongue-in-cheek. It basically means overlooked. That's what this is replacing. Go on.
Look, the secret best game on the NES is Punch-Out because that game is pretty perfect. It is a just perfectly designed game. It still holds up to this day. It is unique. The sprite work is second to none because it was the only game on the system that used the MMC2 chip to deliver those massive sprites. So the artwork is still great today. The music is excellent. It is a game that sets out to deliver this very narrowly focused gameplay experience, and it nails it perfectly. There's barely a single thing you could do to improve upon Punch-Out. It is the secret best game for the NES. It's a masterpiece. It is a masterpiece.
It's all right.
What's your secret best game?
My secret best game actually might be a bit of a secret. It is Konami's Monsters in My Pocket.
Wow. Okay.
So I was really trying to think of like, I mean, it's not the best game by any means, but it's a good game that probably no one has played. Hence, it's a secret.
Well, all of Konami, you know, Konami's licensed platform like that, and that probably shared the same engine with their Tiny Toons games, which were like some of the last games that the Treasure guys worked on before they left Konami, right?
Yeah, so what Monsters in My Pocket is, maybe I need to stop talking so loudly because it's freaking them out. I have an infant on me. now on me.
Mm. Let's warm it up. Take it down.
I do have to bring it down because sudden bursts of my voice will make him go like, "What's going on?"
Dad's freaking out.
So yeah, it's a side-scrolling action game. You can play as either Frankenstein's monster or Dracula or a vampire. I don't remember whether it's specific, but yeah, this is set in the Monsters in My Pocket universe. Those little,
which you may recall,
monochrome.
Macabre
figures.
Version of muscle.
Yeah, from the early, well, I guess 80s at that point. Late 80s, early 90s. And it's just like, it, you know, it's pretty straightforward. It's just fun. You know, your tiny little creatures come to life. And
so there's the micro machines aspect.
Yes,
of it,
the, like the stages. Yeah, all the scenery. Yeah, it's the stages are big around you. You're going around like a house and sewers and construction sites, and just fighting other monsters. And generally, I think it like one hit kills about every monster. So it just like feels good when you're just like popping them off.
But and they control differently, right? They've got some different.
No, they're pretty much the same. I think their hit radiuses might have been a little bit different. Uh-huh. But they had like a double jump, and just like a punch. It's like it's a super simple game, and it's got really good music, and just nice, good looking graphics.
Yeah, charming, colorful, big sprites, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's just a fun little game that I most people probably have not ever played.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh my God! Please tell me that's Aaron pulling in. I can't tell. All right, next category is best soundtrack. Is like the most fucking impossible category ever.
So far, these are all in the same order that I have them in.
Yeah.
Well, it's Mega Man 2. I didn't even have to consider. I just like my eyes saw best game soundtrack, Mega Man 2. What else do you need to consider?
Well, you should consider Castlevania 3.
Uh-huh.
You should also consider Contra. And the first Castlevania, maybe a little bit less. I think it's between Castlevania 3 and Mega Man 2.
Those are all excellent soundtracks.
I just love... probably. But, like, I love the Contra soundtrack and the Castlevania soundtrack for the same way, in that you just have this, you know, this singular, straightforward journey that plays really nicely, you know, into itself, like the whole thing. It just keeps things moving.
Yeah.
And Castlevania 3 is a huge freaking soundtrack, and like every song is incredible.
Yeah. They're like, all just, very good.
Really good. If you want to be a real snut, well, no, we're talking about NES here. We can't talk about the Famicom. If the Famicom was involved, then
then things would be different.
Then things would be different. But Mega Man 2, man, that is one iconic soundtrack.
Yeah.
That is like the most remixed.
It is, I think.
Most covered.
It's hookier. I there are a lot of arrangements in Castlevania 3 that are more complex, perhaps. They do a lot of interesting things. And just the fact that they, you know, pretty accurately represented 7 sound channels from the Famicom version condensed into 4, and it still sounds really damn good, is a very impressive feat. I prefer Mega Man 2 because I think it's hookier. I think that the particular melodies in Mega Man 2 are more earwormy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I lean to it. But I'm a Paul McCartney guy instead of a John Lennon guy. Yeah. So,
well, I don't. It's sort of a, I don't know if it's a chicken versus the egg sort of deal with Mega Man. But just like every song sounds like it comes from that level. And yeah. like it evokes that kind of environment. And I don't know whether that's because, like, you just associate the Mega Man 2 songs with those levels and that kind of set a precedent.
Right.
Or did the songs just fit the levels that good? And it might be a little bit of both, but Mega Man 2's got a really good soundtrack.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I know that it's the obvious go-to choice, but in my mind, it wins. It wins hard.
Mega Man 3 has a really good soundtrack as well.
Mega Man 2 soundtrack. I like the songs in Mega Man 2. Better,
yeah, no, I just said 3 is also a good soundtrack.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
So is Castlevania 3. My goodness.
Yes.
Extraordinary soundtrack.
Such good.
Probably Konami's best work on the NES.
Yeah. Hey, little man. Woo. All right. So now the timely Back to the Future award.
All right.
Because everyone has got to be sick of hearing about Back to the Future after this past week. Holy shit.
First one that's out of order for me. So this is the one that the most forward-thinking NES game. Which, this is a really interesting category to choose. I really had to sort of rack my brain because
I did not have to rack my brain.
No? What did you choose?
I chose River City Ransom.
Oh my gosh, so did I.
I'm going to take these RPG elements and smack them into another genre where they don't belong, but they totally belong.
To think that all of the things that that RCR does, that Brawlers eventually found.
I like how you just threw in the towel on saying the name appropriately there.
River City, yeah, just RCR. It's a curse. It's the X-Strike curse. We can't help but say yeah. Rumble. The fact that it thought to do the thing that modern brawlers are forced to do in order to entertain, in order to keep a home audience engaged, is to have that hook of progression and persistence in leveling up your character. You know, that's a very modern game mechanic, and one that
it's a
has
staple.
Nothing to do with
it's fucking staple these days. Yeah. It is in everything.
You have to do
like
it
it's,
for
not
home.
Even, it's not even it's not it was a thing, you know, when Symphony of the Night happened, it was like, oh man, they put these RPG elements into Castlevania and it's awesome. And then I want to blame it around like Borderlands and also like Modern Warfare, which stuck RPG elements into you know, their online multiplayer component, and Borderlands has all the drops and, you know, is basically shooter Diablo.
Yeah.
You know, it's the games have stopped having RPG elements, and it's just the way that games are. Like, this is what you do to develop your character. Like, if you're not doing that, then what are you doing?
Especially with a genre born in the arcades.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, there just by definition could be none of that because your playthrough was, you know, perhaps very short.
And an open world.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And that's the one thing that brawlers still have not really embraced yet that I kind of wish that they would, is having this open.
Look who it is, little man.
Go back and revisit areas. Because that just sort of seems to be part and parcel with having a persistent character whose stats you are leveling up.
Mm-hmm.
That it was so forward thinking that it just decided to do it when it didn't really have to.
Mm-hmm.
It is yes, obviously the most. Yeah, it's the one.
Yeah. Very good.
Very good. What's next?
Next is We Can't Go Back.
We can't go back.
It doesn't hold up.
Yeah.
It's just, this game is busted.
And you know what? This was a tricky category too, because there really is so much about the NES that is to say that an NES game doesn't hold up. I think is kind of, well, you know, look, we acknowledge that it's an 8-bit game. We acknowledge that even in the very next generation, so many of the concepts on this that were explored on the NES were iterated on, improved, and in some cases perfected on the Super NES. Like, we get that, okay? It's, yes, there's a lot of NES games that in that context don't hold up in light of the fact that they've got superior iterations elsewhere.
I was thinking of how the situation where, you know, you end up with what games that you got in your library at a certain point in that era. Like, there was going to be the big hits that you hounded somebody to get for you, but then there was the other just kind of random ones that showed up.
You play them a lot and perhaps enjoyed them.
Yeah, you might grow an attachment to a game that once you get down the road, you just like, God fucking Christ, I would never play this. Like, I would never go out of my way these days.
Well, the one that I chose, and I chose it because this was a game that it was very popular at the time. It was well-liked. It sold a lot of copies. Right. I liked it. You liked it. Everyone liked it. We all played it and loved it. But the collective consciousness has taken such a 180 on it since then.
Oh, I'm curious.
It's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, you know what? I almost picked that.
You know, it's just...
But I think at the time, I kind of knew it wasn't that good. Yeah, holy shit. That was... Yeah. That was very nearly my pick.
Because so many... I mean, it's just... everyone agrees now that it's garbage. And I don't know how long it took for the, you know, gaming cognoscenti at large to sort of turn around on that, because it was very well liked for a long time. It's sort of the opposite of Zelda 2, where people, even though it, you know, sold very well at the time, the people did not like it for a long time, and now people have sort of come back around on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the NES game that everyone loves to hate.
Yeah.
That is, it's
infamous in that way, that everyone had it, everyone played it. And you go back to it now, and there's just, like, you can't, like, the game is so hard. You can't go anywhere in the fucking damn level, which overshadows the third area, which is a huge pain in the ass, and it just gets worse from there.
Is that the rooftop?
The third one is where you're like driving around the streets. Yes, it ends on the rooftops.
Okay, yeah.
That level does, and then like the fourth area is like the hangar.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's, you know, something
else. I never
saw
it personally.
I have made it to the hangar like once or twice, and getting through that is just like, holy shit. Yeah.
So what can you not go back to?
I can't. Not that I ever spent a lot of time with it, but Mylon's Secret Castle is a piece of shit.
I almost picked that. Because that was one of those games that somehow came into my possession, and we owned it, and me and my sister played it a lot. I think she liked it because it's got a lot of sort of musicality,
to it,
with the notes and things, and
yeah, it's got some good music. It's kind of neat.
It's got a lot of personality.
It just felt like, man. You know, at the time, it just kind of felt like another hard NES game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh man, you got to go down the well and then get back out, which is really kind of the hardest part of that game.
I think there's a lot of games that we did not notice were obtuse, just completely obtuse. Because
yeah.
We were kids and we were games. We were like, oh, okay, this is completely arbitrary that we have to do this to do this. Yeah, whatever. You know, we
that's
didn't
what
care
Nintendo
that
Power's
game,
for, yeah.
Right, exactly. We didn't care that a game, you know, did not make any effort whatsoever to instruct us on how to progress in this game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just, oh boy, it tells you nothing about what to do.
Yeah.
So ridiculous.
All right. Next, I got Bargain Bin Champion.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the award for that random game, that off the beaten path game. You're not your Mario's or your Zelda's or Mega Man's or Castlevania's. That game that you somehow ended up with that was dope as shit.
I'm curious to hear what your answer for this, because I really had to rack my brain to think of a game that I did not seek out deliberately that I actually ended up loving. Like, I had a lot of random games that I really, even at the time, did not dig. So what was your pick for this?
Usually when I think of random games that enter my collection, the first thing I think of is Battle of Olympus, which is not my pick, but it's kind of I look at it now, I'm like, oh, this is a Zelda 2 ripoff.
Right.
And it's hard, but I played a lot of it, and it's pretty fun. No, my pick was The Guardian Legend, which I have no recollection for how I ended up with it, but that was one of the games I had as a kid and played the crap out of.
That's lucky.
Yeah. Like, I was looking over my inventory, my library of NES games, and I was trying to think, like where each game came from, and you know, I remember getting Dragon Spirit for cheap. I'm like, okay, and I remember kind of getting this there. I'm like, I have no idea how I got the Guardian Legend. I don't remember asking for it. I just somehow got it. It's great. That's one of those that great NES game where
excellent
that swaps
game.
Between a overhead scrolling shooter and kind of a exploration, almost like Zelda-ish dungeon crawling, except you have guns.
Yeah, kind of like Blaster Master, except instead of the car.
Yeah, it's one of those games that changes what you're doing. It flips back and forth. Yes, like Blaster Master.
Yeah, that's a compile game.
Yeah, and I played that game to completion once on Eagle Street. Just sat down one night and played all the Guardian Legend. It's kind of tedious to play through it all at once. It gets a little repetitive.
Yeah, no.
But
that's a great pick.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Like, the only game that I could think of that entered my collection in a weird roundabout was, I think one time I traded in some stuff at HORC Hobbies. Oof. And they did not have the game that I wanted, but I did not want to leave empty-handed.
Mm. Yep, I know that.
Because
when you were there on the precipice of getting a new game, you didn't want to, there was no patience at that time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm just going to wait and come back or, you know, do whatever.
Either that or I wound up with a little more store credit than I expected and just had some extra cash. I'm like, oh, okay, what should I get? And I think I had recently been playing Pinball Quest, and so there was a pinball game there called Rockin' Ball. And so I ended up getting that.
Oh, dear.
And it's just an okay pinball game. Like, it's nothing special. So my Bargain Bin Champion is not that game. It's a game that I don't think I ever actually owned at the time. I don't know how I ever played this game at the time. I forget who among our circle of friends owned SNK's Little League Baseball.
Oh.
But I loved that game. That became like, because I would never seek out a sports game on my own. But it's sort of a junior NES version of SNK's Baseball Stars.
Right.
So it's a really fun, really great, easy to play arcade style baseball game. And I remember, you know, staying up late at night, trading off teams in our circle. I don't know if Peck owned it or who owned it, but it was one of those games that when I grew up, I had to go out and seek and acquire because somehow it had entered my life and I had loved it at the time. Mm-hmm. So that's mine.
Cool. Next is best co-op.
Ivan Ironman Stewart Super Off-Road.
Oh, yeah?
Need I say anything?
How is that cooperative?
Oh, my
God. It's competitive.
Boy, that's... I read co-op and just saw the word multi and just thought the word multiplayer. Okay, well, then Contra.
Good. Oh, man.
Co-op.
It's short for cooperative. Right.
Cooperative play.
Words mean things. If I was saying competitive, I might say Dr. Mario.
Yeah,
that is a hot head-to-head game.
Yeah.
We are talking cooperative.
We're talking cooperative.
I think Contra's a terrible cooperative game.
You do?
Yeah. Well, because I played it and just like the fucking that happens back and forth in that game. I mean, it's a good co-op game, but just like, God, you will die a lot, especially the waterfall. Holy crap, the nightmares.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I mean, whatever. You load up 30 guys and you go in there and you shoot shit and whatever.
So what's your pick?
Well,
RCR?
No, it is not, actually. That can go sour, too. My pick for best cooperative game is Bubble Bobble. Because why would you go alone into Bubble Bobble?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a good pick.
Yeah. I mean, there's some levels that are extremely difficult if you only go in there with one dinosaur. Like, the cooperative game.
It's so tedious with only one player.
Yeah. I can, you know, play solo through Contra and River City Ransom, but...
Those games can be rewarding solo, but
I would not sit down on my lonesome to play through Bubble Bobble.
Dear Lord, no.
But you get together with somebody and you can have fun going through it once.
Played a lot of Gauntlet on the NES.
Me neither.
Because Gauntlet 2 supported the satellite for players. I bet that would have been pretty fun. Oh, well. Yeah, no, Bubble Bobble. Good pick.
I think we had a lot of fun... maybe you weren't involved playing Super Spike V-Ball for players.
I played that a few times. Yeah,
okay,
that's
we were talking about that with George a couple weeks ago about how he went out of his way to find a 4-score in Super Spike V-Ball to have it after we were playing.
Yeah. Because that was Technos, right?
Yes. Yeah, it was on the same cart as Nintendo World Cup.
Yeah.
Or it was available. There was a dual cart with both of them on there, which I believe was a pack-in at some point. Just kind of like a sports pack of the NES. But yeah, Bubble Bobble. That game you shouldn't, because, yeah, don't play that game alone. It's dangerous to go alone. Take a friend. All right. Time for the Games of Future Past prestigious Mass Driver Award.
Okay.
Named after that awful sequence in the original Dead Space for the worst part of an otherwise great game.
And again, this was hard for me because there is so much that we just accept about NES. Like it as devoted gamers, it's, you know, easier, I think, for us on the inside to look at a game and say, yeah, but it's okay. It was an NES game. I can give it a pass. They didn't know.
Yeah.
So there's so much that we just inherently forgive.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wish I could enjoy Ninja Gaiden without getting knocked into the goddamn one-hit kill pits all the fucking time. I think that's probably
so. Your
my
mass
one
driver drive. Is your ninja
my
guide and skill.
My mass driver is my mass. Yeah, all right.
You can say the birds. They're a pain in the fucking.
The birds.
Ass.
Yeah, no. Goddamn enemy birds. Placement in that game is designed for enemies.
Enemies
to
respawning the second you scroll the stage. Ugh. It's a hard
goddamn pain in my ass.
Yeah. my mass driver is the Doc Robot stages of Mega Man 3.
Oh, yeah.
I hate them. You take those out, it's a better game that I would play more. But as it is, I play it and then I'm like, ugh.
Unnecessary padding.
Ugh. Yeah. Totally unnecessary, which then started a trend of unnecessary padding in all of the Mega Man games. They're forward. There must be a red herring. There must be four extra stages to make the game longer.
Yeah.
Bah.
You thought it was over, but no!
Nobody ever thought it was over.
It was a pointless retread.
But, like, the Doc Robot stages are the worst because they're just super hard versions of stages. You've already been through those stages. You've already heard that music.
Yeah.
You've already seen all the stuff in them. Just now there's more spikes and pits, and there's two bosses that you do not know the weaknesses for.
Yeah.
And it's, I always have hell remembering them because they don't have like the, it's not the,
it's not that they don't naturally correspond.
Yeah. They don't naturally like correspond. And I believe some have like some of your weapons, like Shadow Blade works on two of them. So it's not, yeah, it's all fucked up. It's bad.
It's bullshit.
Yes. It sucks.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right.
Next category.
Next category. We're down to our last three.
Awesome.
Which is good. All right. Time for our three-part series of categories based on the classic film, The Prestige.
Part one, The Pledge.
The Pledge.
Which is what we call best
first thing, best opening, best start to a something, I guess. I picked Ninja Gaiden because that's the best Ninja Gaiden game. Never got better than Ninja Gaiden. I know it's hard. Dave, are you there?
Yeah. No, I'm thinking about that.
Yeah. Well, I was sitting there and trying to think. I'm like, well, there is a lot of, on the NES, there's a lot of games that, you know, started out like, ah, here's the game. And then the sequel is obviously the better one, or the sequel, you know, two sequels down, the third one or whatever. But Ninja Gaiden, like, I think in all of the history of the Ninja Gaiden series, is still the best Ninja Gaiden. It has the best music. It's the most iconic. It has all these dope-ass cutscenes in it. It tells a dramatic story.
Yeah.
Ninja Gaiden does.
See, I like it the best as well, but I think most people say that Part 2 is the superior game.
Yeah, really?
I feel like that's the case.
I don't know.
I've always preferred the original, but I feel like the Dark Sword of Chaos is the one with that people cite as having more refined mechanics.
No, I'm sure. I don't know. I still feel like the first one is still awesome.
Yeah.
The best. I couldn't think of another one either. So go on, Dave.
our original, what we used to call The Pledge is best new IP.
Oh yeah,
because in the darths of sequel,
everything was a new IP. My pick still stands.
Oh yeah, no, it absolutely should. I had sort of neglected to consider that interpretation of it, and so I actually picked something that was the what I decided was the best like original game on the NES that did not come from a big long series and it actually was never followed up on. And that's Irem's Shatterhand. Because that's a really cool game. It's a really cool hybrid of brawler and shooter that was with great level design and great music and really cool art design. It was never followed up. It's just sort of this wholly unique IP that they introduced. And you know, it's got this whole world to it.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Yeah,
I think it's cool.
See, I was like, because, you know, usually we do this at the end of the current year, so it's easier to say, I love this IP, I want to see more.
Right.
And when I look back, I'm not thinking of, like, I love this IP, I wish I'd seen more. Though, yeah, it would have been cool to see more Shatterhand.
But yeah, that was exactly my line of
it would have been cool to see more Star Tropics that wasn't a weird time-traveling thing.
I never played Part 2.
It's a weird thing that it just so much of the original Star Tropics is like the music and the whole vibe of the game, and it's just totally lost. Like the gameplay of Star Tropics is not really the thing that I love about it. It's the music and the setting and just kind of the quirkiness of it. And then you just kind of, they made it this weird time traveling adventure where you go around like and interact with Sherlock Holmes and you go to the Old West and do all this stuff. And it's just like, well, it just lost a lot of the character the first game had.
I want to go back to the islands.
Yeah, they clung to something, but I feel like it was the wrong stuff.
Goddamn. The prestige.
No, the turn.
Turn.
The turn.
That was the turn. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Here. The turn. That's the second part is the turn.
Second part is the turn.
God
the
damn it, Dave. You need to go watch. You need to go back and watch The Prestige so you get this all straightened out before we really, blank of the year.
I really do. It's a good movie. The turn.
The turn. So this is something that went foul.
Yeah. Yeah. A series that started off hopeful and strong and promising and took a bad turn somewhere on the road.
What'd you pick for this?
I picked Mega Man.
Yeah.
Again, it seemed like sort of the obvious pick. It's just, it's kind of the only series on the, looking back historically on series, like Mega Man is one of the few games that had, it had six goddamn installments on just one system. I think there are not so many other series that had the opportunity to get so fatigued that quickly. And Mega Man went ahead. And that's not to say that the later installments, you know, don't have their high points, because obviously they certainly do. But they definitely stopped being relevant after 4. And, you know, the people were, even at the time, people were starting to say like, oh, God, this is just more of the same. Please just kill it. But for me, it's Mega Man.
I took, in this instance, I took the turn to be the straight up worst thing, which is the game Star Voyager, which takes a turn the second you turn on your system with it inside. This game is a boring ass, like, space thing. I don't know. You're in space in a ship. I don't know what the fuck you're supposed to do.
Star Voyager.
It is like one of my least favorite games of all time. Especially like definitely least game that I ever owned. That you know we got as a gift from a relative, and it's just it's so boring. If nothing else, like you're flying around and I took great lengths to actually try to figure out like what you need to do in the game. And you know, the instruction book is informative as to things that are in the game, but not exactly on how to proceed in the game as you voyage amongst the stars. As far as I ever got, it's just kind of like pointing myself at like a waypoint, flying up to it. Sometimes it was, I think generally it was a space station. I'd dock up to it. Something would happen. And I don't know. There wasn't a lot in between. I just remember a lot of kind of floating through space at things in the distance.
Yeah.
I don't remember doing any like dog fighting or mission. I don't really know what the game is about, but it's bad. It's a bad game. It's super bad.
Super bad.
All right, and the third act is called The Prestige.
Yeah.
For best
that is.
And best ending thing, best cap, best send off. I think The Prestige is Super Mario Brothers 3 because it's the best game on the system. It's the last Mario game on the system.
I thought our prestige, don't we usually apply that to literally the best ending of a game?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
It's open to interpretation.
Okay, that's fine. I took it to mean the best ending to a game, and my favorite ending to an NES game is Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Even though it's a still screen with text, it is a like speaking of crazy time travel stories, felt pretty epic to me at the time. I can't think of another game ending on the NES outside of Super Mario 2 that was more of a whoa, really? Sort of blew my childhood mind as much as the crazy, like, we changed history of Final Fantasy.
Mm. I like Mega Man 2's ending. Wily's an alien, and then you walk through the seasons,
yeah.
Leave your helmet behind.
I love Super Mario 3's ending, too. I love the music that plays, mm-hmm. and you sort of revisit, you know, the scenes from all the stages. That was a really good ending.
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically the same ending as Mario World, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was another good ending.
And
that's
with
it.
That,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, that's
that is
little,
your blank of the NES.
Yeah, a quick little NES review. Just talk about a few neato things about the system.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if you want to hear about the best of the NES, you'll have to dig back into the, I think, X-Strike Studios podcast archives to find the top five NES. Maybe I will upload it and link it in the text of this.
It's ground that's been well tread. I'm glad that we...
We were trying to figure out something different to talk about, and I think we talked about some different things than the norm. I think everyone knows what the best NES games are at this point, or they're just going to decide to find out for themselves.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, folks, and we'll catch you next time on Games of Future Past. Ha ha ha!